For our look into God's Word this morning, I'd like us to consider one of the temptations that the devil hurled at the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. The Bible record of the entire temptation is found in two out of the four Gospels. It's in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. And the temptation I'd like us to consider together is the second temptation, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel. So let's begin by reading it. It's Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, 'You shall not test the Lord your God.'" Now, before we get into the specific temptation, let me share a couple words regarding the entire temptation. Well, more than a couple. How about a few? The first I want to share concerns the overall theme of the Lord's temptation. And the overall theme of the Lord's temptation is this: the Lord Jesus is victorious. If we don't see anything else in the temptation of Christ, we need to see that Jesus is a victorious Savior. He was tempted by the devil 40 days and 40 nights, alone in the wilderness, and he was found to be perfect, proven, and triumphant. This is the main revelation of Christ the Holy Spirit displays in the Lord's temptation, that Jesus is victorious, victorious over the devil, and victorious over the temptation to sin. Now, by keeping our attention on Christ as the victor, we can learn at least two amazing things in the record of his temptation. Number one, we can learn principles concerning the devil's temptation itself. In other words, in how the devil tempted Jesus, we can see how the devil will tempt all of God's children. But also, number two, as we focus on the Lord Jesus as victorious in his temptation, we can glean principles on living the Christian life. And these principles are displayed in the Lord's answers to the devil in each temptation. Or to put it yet another way, in the revelation of Christ as our victorious Savior, we can learn what the Christian life is not, illustrated in each of the devil's temptations. And we can learn what the Christian life is, illustrated from the words of Christ in each temptation. Now, with that as a very short introduction, let's look together now at the second temptation in Matthew chapter 4. Now, right up front, let me get before you what I see to be the heart of this temptation, and then we'll spend the rest of our time together this morning developing it. This temptation, I believe, can be summed up in just one word, and that is the word presumption. And what I mean by that is this: in this temptation, Satan tried to get Jesus to follow a twisted idea of faith, a misunderstanding of what it means to truly trust in God. In its essence, the devil here said to Jesus, "Jesus, if you are so intent on trusting God, let's see you trust him. Throw yourself off this temple and watch as God comes to your rescue." And basically, Jesus said, "No, that is a twisted view of faith. I will not jump and then trust my Father to protect me. To do that," Jesus said, "would be testing God, not trusting God." Now, I have called it presumption, presuming upon God. Some translations use the words tempting God. Satan here was tempting Jesus to put God to the test, to presume upon the Lord. And in answer to this temptation, Jesus said, "You shall not test the Lord your God." Now, I think it's very possible that in the Church of Christ today, many of God's dear people are thinking they are trusting him, when in reality they may actually be tempting God or testing Him. Now, according to this passage, what is that sin? The sin of testing God, presuming upon God. Let me try to describe it as seen here in this temptation. Because in this temptation, the devil took Jesus to a very high place, the pinnacle of the temple at Jerusalem. That was the highest point of the temple, the very, very top. And there the devil invited Jesus to jump. And with that invitation, the devil quoted a Bible verse. He quoted a promise from God from Psalm 19, verses 11 and 12, which says, He will give His angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. At the very top of the temple, Satan said to Jesus, Jump. And here is a verse that says God will guarantee your safety. Jesus, are you really trusting God? In your heart, do you really have faith in your Father and in the words your Father has spoken? Show me. Show the world. Show your Father that you have faith in Him. Jump. Now, don't think for a moment that Satan wanted Jesus to believe a promise from the Bible. That was not his intention at all. Clearly, the devil was quoting a Bible verse in order to tempt Jesus to sin. He does not want to see the promises of God proven. He does not want to see God carry out His word. No, in this temptation, the devil is appealing to Christ's faith. Satan wants Jesus to prove his faith. Go ahead, Jesus, jump. And prove you believe in God. Why, just look at you. You're tired, you're hot, you're hungry. Your Father has left you out here in the desert all alone for 40 days. You're suffering. You know, Jesus, maybe the Father wants to see that you really do believe in Him. Boy, that would please the Father, wouldn't it, Jesus? In fact, maybe the Father is waiting to see you put some feet to your faith. Maybe this is the next step for you, Jesus. Perhaps the Father has put you in the desert to test whether or not you really trust in Him. Well, Jesus, here's your opportunity. Here we are at the top of the temple, a place where you can show God and others how much you trust Him. Cast yourself off and let God save you. Now, try to imagine with me the scene. What would have happened if Jesus had stepped off the pinnacle of the temple? I believe that one step off of that temple and Jesus would have been exalted. One step forward and the angels of God would have come and gently lowered Him to the ground. The temple, as you know, was a very busy place. Lots of people were always there. And if the crowd would have seen that miracle, I believe the crowd would have begun to yell, Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus is God, Jesus is God, praise the name of the Lord. And my guess is there would have immediately been a rush to make Jesus king. What a sight that would have been. But Jesus said, if I did that, I would be testing God. But I ask, why wouldn't that just be trusting God? Why wouldn't that just be claiming a promise from God's word? Why wouldn't that be a tremendous testimony to the world, showing the world what God can do when His people trust Him? Why would it be tempting God for Jesus to jump? Well, very simply, if Jesus had jumped that day, He would have been testing God because He would have been putting His faith on display. And that's the key here. Anytime you and I have to put our faith on display, we are testing God. And real faith, Bible faith, never presumes upon the Lord. Real faith never points to itself. And this is the essence of the devil's temptation. This is tempting God. putting faith on display. Now, we won't look at all of the all three of the devil's temptations this morning, but when you look at them, you see that they all involve an attack on faith. And in all three of these temptations, it's the same. The devil is going after faith. This is the battleground, brethren, in our lives. Our faith in the Lord. Scripture proclaims that our fight is not against things physical. Our fight does not have to do with flesh and blood. Our faith concerns misconceptions of faith. 1 Timothy 6 says, fight the good fight of faith. Some translations read, fight the good fight for faith. Wrong attitudes as to what it means to live by faith. This is the devil's aim in temptation. If he can get us to base our Christian lives on incorrect views of faith, he will be happy. And in the second temptation, Satan is tempting Jesus to make his faith public, to prove his faith. Go ahead, Jesus. Jump. Don't be ashamed of your faith. Just think of what a testimony it would be for all of these people here to see your Father coming to your rescue in answer to your faith. And Jesus said, I will not do it. That is testing God. See, anytime we think that we have to prove that we are trusting God, in that moment, we stop trusting God and we begin to test God. See, any time we think that we have to prove we are trusting God, in that moment we stop trusting Him and we begin to test the Lord. Anyone who feels that they have to prove their faith is really showing they lack faith. Because real faith is quiet. Real faith does not leap off a building and say, hey, look at me, everybody. I'm trusting God. Real faith does not display itself like that. Real faith would never say, I trust God, and that's why I have this gift, or that's why I have this miracle, or this experience, or this deliverance. No, that is not faith. That is actually spiritual pride. See, if I have to launch out on some limb, if I have to do something spectacular, if I have to prove I'm trusting God and make it public so people will say, boy, that guy lives by faith, then I'm not living by faith. I'm testing God. Testing God because I'm trying to force God into fulfilling His promise, not according to His will, but according to my will. See, faith does not take out a promise from God's word and then throw it up in God's face and say, do it, Lord. Do it as I think it should be done. That's presuming upon God's faithfulness. And that was the devil's suggestion in this temptation. Real faith, Bible faith, sees a promise in God's word and then says, Lord, I think I understand this promise, but I could be wrong. So, Lord, I'm trusting you to bring this promise to pass in my life according to your understanding and your desires, not mine. That's true Bible faith. It believes God, and then it leaves all the outworkings of His promises up to Him to fulfill as He sees fit. It does not dictate to God in any way as to how God should fulfill His promises in our lives. You see, Jesus did not have to prove His faith to anybody, even Himself. He just believed in His Father, and by the fact that He did not jump, revealed that He had faith more than if He had jumped. Faith that seeks some outward, visible manifestation of itself in order to steady itself, that is not real faith at all. Now, because a correct understanding of faith is very important in the Christian life, and because I don't want anyone leaving here this morning confused as to what I'm saying, let me develop it in terms of some modern-day illustrations and examples. See, you may leave here this morning not agreeing with what I say, and that's okay. We always have to determine and accept for ourselves God's truth from His Word, leaning upon the Holy Spirit. That's one thing. But I don't want anyone leaving here misunderstanding what I'm saying. So you may disagree with me when I'm done, but at least you will have heard clearly what I'm saying. So let me be as clear as I possibly can. The Lord is assisting me. I think the big question here is this. How can I tell the difference between trusting God and tempting God? I'm sure no Christian wants to deliberately test the Lord. We don't want to presume upon His love and His provision, but we do want to trust Him. So when do I trust God to protect me? And when do I put a deadbolt on my door for protection? Is locking my door at night a sign that I really do not trust God to protect me? You see what I'm getting at? When does trusting God for protection become presuming upon God for protection? Certainly God wants us to live trusting in Him. He wants us to claim His promises and count upon them and believe in Him for them. But when do I cross the line and start testing Him? Well, here are a few more examples. Is buying health insurance a lack of faith in God to provide for your family in some emergency? Or when you buy fire insurance for your home, are you saying that you really don't believe that God will take care of you and your family if your house burns down? How can we tell the difference between faith and presumption? I have heard some people say that to take medicine is a lack of faith. They say that if we trust God, that means we do not have to take medicine. Well, is it faith to not take medicine and just trust God to heal us? Is that faith? I heard of a woman who one time threw all of her children's clothes away because she said that she was going to trust God to provide all new clothes for her children. Was that faith? I know a man to this day who has an open sore on his back. He's had it for many years, and he will not go to a doctor because he says that if God wants him to stay healthy, God will keep him healthy. And if God wants him to die, he will die and go to heaven. So he's not going to go see a doctor. Well, is that faith? I've heard people say things like, I'm quitting my job, and I'm going to go out and start preaching the gospel, and from now on, I'm going to live by faith and trust God to provide for my needs. Is that faith? You may have heard of some Christians who, at their worship service, pick up poisonous snakes. And they pick up those snakes because they claim to be believing in God's promise to protect them. They pick up those snakes as a witness to the world, so that all can see the miraculous hand of God. They believe this will cause people to be saved. Is that faith? Have you ever heard someone say something like this? Our ministry does not have enough money to build a new building, but we are going to take a step of faith and believe God for a miracle. We're going to build by faith. We're going to borrow the money and trust God for the monthly payments. We will claim a new building from God. And if we have faith, He will provide so that this community will see that God can be trusted. Is that faith? Why believe in this temptation? We see God's answer to all of those examples and situations. And without clearing my throat, I say that in every example I've just mentioned, I believe the answer to the question, is it faith, is no. It is not faith. It is presuming upon God. Throwing away your children's clothes and trusting God to provide new ones is not faith. It's presuming upon the Lord. Quitting your job and expecting Jesus to provide for you miraculously while you go out and preach the gospel, that's not faith. That's testing God. Not buying fire insurance when you can afford it, hoping that Jesus will provide if your house burns down, is not faith. It's tempting God. Picking up poisonous snakes, expecting God to protect you as a witness to the community, is not faith. It is tempting God. Not locking your door at night expecting God to keep you safe is not faith. It is tempting God. Piling up the bills, hoping that God will pay them, is not faith. It is tempting God. All of it, without a doubt, is the same sin. It's the sin that the devil suggested to Jesus, only modernized. All of it is testing God, not trusting in Him. To expect good health when you violate the laws of health is foolishness, not faith. To expect financial stability when you violate the laws of good economics is presumption, not faith. To put yourself in danger needlessly, hoping that God will come to your rescue, is tempting Him. See, just because we trust God, that does not mean that we can live like idiots. No, real faith trusts God and lives sensibly. Real faith trusts God and then uses the smarts that God gave you. Real faith trusts God to provide and then lives financially responsible. True faith buys insurance if it can afford it. Now, one time in our lives, my wife and I truly could not afford to purchase health insurance. And when you know it, during that time, Darlene fell and broke her leg. But we watched then as God faithfully provided for us financially. But when the time came when we could afford health insurance, I believe it honored the Lord for us to purchase it. See, true faith locks the door at night, if the door has a lock. And true faith runs from poisonous snakes. It doesn't pick them up. Of course, some might say, well, what about the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts? He was bitten by a snake and God healed him. Yes, but Paul did not run after that snake and pick it up and say, look at my faith. That snake came after Paul and it surprised him. And then God decided that it was not yet time for Paul to go to heaven. See, real faith knows that God can do anything. Real faith knows that God can heal if He wants to. Real faith knows that God can miraculously deliver if He wants to. But real faith doesn't go looking for danger intentionally and then expect God to heal or protect or deliver. No. Faith takes medicine. It sees that as part of trusting God in all things. Faith works hard to provide for the family. Faith only takes out loans if it knows it can repay them. Faith lives sensibly and then it bows its head and thanks God for providing and protecting. That's faith. Faith has brains. Faith is practical. It does not rule out the miraculous. It does not refuse to believe that God can work miracles. But it does not pressure God into working miracles. Faith does not twist God's arm into doing what it thinks God should do. That's not living by faith. That's the sin of presuming upon God's faithfulness. See, by not jumping off that temple, Jesus was saying, I trust God, but I will not put my faith on display. Now, I've just given a number of modern-day examples. Let me give some Bible examples. The Apostle Paul in Acts 23 was warned by God that 40 men had conspired to kill him. Remember that story? They made a vow. They said, we will not eat or drink until Paul is dead. Well, Paul did not say, you know, I don't have to be concerned about those guys. Not in the least. Because God told me that one day I am going to preach the gospel in Rome. So those guys can't hurt me. I'll just trust God to take care of it. No, what did Paul do? He told the authorities and then he got out of town. Remember, he left secretly at night. Some might say, well, that Paul, he was a coward. He should have stayed in town and trusted in God to protect him and stood up to those men in the power and authority of the Lord and claimed victory over his enemies. But Paul did trust God. And part of trusting God meant that Paul should not intentionally put himself in danger. But when warned of a danger, he should act to avoid it. Now, Paul was often beaten. He was often whipped. As a teacher of the grace of God, he was in danger many times throughout his life. But it was God who put him in that danger. And sometimes God delivered him, and sometimes God did not. So I'm not saying that we should shrink back from serving God because of the danger we might face. No. Many of God's people have been martyred while seeking to spread the gospel. And that was not wrong. I'm just saying that we should not needlessly put ourselves in danger and expect God to protect us because we have faith. Here's another Bible example. Joseph and Mary. They fled to Egypt to save baby Jesus. Was that a lack of faith on their part? Didn't they believe the angel of God when he told them that their little baby was the Messiah, and that he would grow up to save his people from their sins? Didn't Joseph and Mary believe that Jesus could destroy all of the soldiers that were trying to kill them? Running from Bethlehem to Egypt to save Jesus? No, that was not a lack of faith. That was an act of faith. Here's another example. God told David that one day he would become the king of Israel. So did that mean that he did not have to run from King Saul when King Saul tried to kill him? Did that mean that David did not have to duck when Saul threw that spear at him? Was it a lack of faith when David ran and when David ducked? Not at all. Some might ask, well, why wouldn't it be an act of faith? And why wouldn't it be claiming the promises of God for Paul not to run, and Joseph and Mary not to flee, and David not to duck, and Jesus not to jump? Because it would be proving their faith, putting their faith on display, daring God. And Jesus said, you shall not test the Lord your God. God will protect us according to his will and his purposes in our lives. But don't test him. Now, I think it's a very important fact that this temptation did not take place in the desert, but that it took place in Jerusalem, at a very busy place, the temple. I think all of God's children, all of us, have the tendency to want to appear real spiritual in public. In public, there is always the danger of hypocrisy, doing things to be seen by men, to be noticed by others. And as you know, God hates that. And to guard against it, the Lord says, never put your faith on display. Satan wanted Jesus to make his faith public. But real faith walks privately with the Lord. Real faith never seeks the spotlight. It's like prayer. Remember what Jesus said concerning prayer in his Sermon on the Mount? He said, when you pray, go into your closet. Pray to your Father in secret. Don't flaunt your prayer and don't flaunt your faith. Now, some might ask, well, what about testimony? What about being a witness to others? Shouldn't we want others to see our faith in God as a testimony? See, where does that come in to this discussion? Well, very simply, James chapter 4, verse 10 answers that question. There the Lord says, humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. See, if you live a life of humility before the Lord, a life of real faith and private before him, when the Lord wants to manifest himself through you to others, he will do that. He will exalt you as you exalt him when that is his will. When Moses came down from that mountain, they all said, Moses, you've been with God. How did they know? Well, they could see it on his face. He reflected the glory of God just by being with God. Jesus said, you cannot hide a city on a hill. Just so, you cannot hide your private life with Jesus when he decides to reveal himself through you to others. Hearts that are hungry to know the Lord will see the Lord in you as God draws them to himself through your life. Guaranteed. The devil, in so many words, said to Jesus, show your heavenly Father you believe. Jesus, show the world you believe. Jump. And Jesus said that would be testing God. Real faith never has to prove itself to man or to God. Now, I believe that God can and will heal physically when it is consistent with His will and His purposes in our lives. But much of what I see done today in the name of healing is not calling upon God to heal, as much as it is calling upon men to demonstrate their faith. They'll say, go ahead, claim your healing from God. Show how much you believe. Well, I believe in light of this passage and many more, that it's presumption, not faith. It is dictating to God what you want Him to do, when you want Him to do it. Now, please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. God clearly wants us to claim His promises. He wants us to live by faith in Him, but true faith leaves the fulfillment of God's promises up to Him as to when and how and where. Real faith never seeks its own will. It bows its head and simply says, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Now let me close this morning by calling your attention again to the specific location of this temptation. Yes, it took place at a very busy place, Jerusalem. But this very busy place was also a very religious place. This temptation took place at the holiest place, in the holiest city of Israel, the temple. And I believe by that fact, God is illustrating this truth, that it is often at an exalted religious place where you and I often fall prey to the temptation of testing God. The pinnacle, being the highest point, well, that represents exaltation, and the temple represents religion. And I think it is when you and I are in the company of believers, when we are in the assembly of God's people, that we are most in danger of putting our faith on display before the eyes of men. Satan will take us up at the very top of the temple and then whisper in our ear, boy, look at you. You're really something. You're such a devoted follower of Jesus. You're such an instructed Christian. You're mature in the faith. You know your Bible. You're spiritual. Look at how God is using you. You are quite an example to other believers. And pretty soon, we begin to think of ourselves as special and set apart from others and perhaps even indispensable in God's service. And when Satan gets us all puffed up and full of ourselves, he says, now, cast yourself off. Take a leap of faith. Show people how special you really are. Show people what people of faith can do when they trust the Lord. Show people what a person of faith you are. The pinnacle of the temple is a very dangerous place for God's people. Christians get awful giddy up there, and it is often in the spotlight where we do crazy things. We get up there, and everybody is watching us, and they want to see us perform. And so it is at the top where the jumpers will say things like, God is using us in this city. We are His special voice. And we can do more for Him if we have faith. We can build something great for the glory of God. Let's trust Him. And when they build and God does not pay the bills, desperation sets in. And desperate pleas go out for money. You know? Have you heard those pleas? The Lord is my shepherd, but we need more money. No. It says, the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not lack. What would God have you give to this ministry? So that a ministry that is so indispensable to the Lord's work in this community, that's their plea. Personally, I think all of it is testing God. Personally, I think it has nothing to do with faith. And it is one of the many traps we can fall into at the top of the temple. Using faith as an excuse for foolishness does not testify of God's power. It does the opposite. It draws attention to men and brings dishonor to the Lord. The safest place for any Christian to be is at the bottom. You can't jump from the bottom. The safest place for us is at the feet of our Savior, constantly recognizing our own spiritual helplessness and poverty before Him. So may God work in our hearts a desire for the low place, to not seek greatness, but just seek a great God. And if He wants to, He will exalt us. He will work through us. And if and when He does, there will not be any question who it is who has raised us up and provided. The world will then see that it was not because of our cleverness or our self-promotion or our fundraising techniques or our tried-and-true strategies for growth, but it was through the grace and power of God. So in conclusion, brothers, real faith is not presumption. Real faith never seeks self-recognition. It has nothing to prove. Faith is living before God sensibly and responsibly with the attitude of humility. It says to the Lord, Jesus, I just want You. That's all I want. So let's trust the Lord together to work that attitude in our hearts as He lives His life in and through us. And may the Lord be praised.